gathered here this morning to commemorate the life of Todd Peter DeKreiger, who passed from this life 1 month ago today, February 26th, 2016, at the age of 46. We're here to mourn his passing, and we are here to recognize God's gracious work in and through his life. And on behalf of the DeKreiger family, I want to thank you for your presence here today. And I would like to acknowledge that this gathering is only a small representation of those from around the world who have been impacted by Todd's life and are grieving Todd's death. Will you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, as we gather today, we are keenly aware of the brokenness and sinfulness of our world and of our need for grace. We grieve over a life that seemed too short. We grieve over the presence of disease in the world. We grieve knowing that death was not your intent for your world. We grieve for a wife who is left without the companionship of her husband. Grieve for 4 young boys who are left without the direction of their earthly father. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We believe that your ways are above our ways. We believe that you are able to bring good out of evil. We believe that death has been defeated through the redemptive work of Christ. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, the establishment of the new heavens and the new earth, and the life everlasting. It would be our prayer that your name would be hallowed in this place and that our hearts would be filled with the hope of the gospel. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together. Let's sing. How great thou art, truth that we can cling to this morning. Amen.
I'll bring down. Even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, O Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me, and the light around me to become like night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light, the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in the utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious you are, your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are there. It is comforting to know that we can never escape God's Spirit. As Todd was lying in the bed of the Hospital of Hope, being transferred to the airplane in Cara, and fighting for his life in Cologne, God's Spirit was always present with Todd. As we mourn and as we celebrate Todd's life, God's Spirit is with us. What is so special and comforting to me is that every day of Todd's life was laid out before he was even born. Praise God. God had a special plan for Todd, and he was totally obedient to his call. And now, Todd celebrates with Dad and his Heavenly Father in praise and total worship.
First Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us.
This is a tough spot to stand today. Appreciate Todd's brother, Kurt, sharing, and Todd's son, Grant, sharing, and Lord willing, we'll hear from others of their family, and they'll stand here before you. But we want to acknowledge and recognize that they're not alone. Even as they stand here, even in the events of the last month, they have not been alone, and we wanted to recognize today those who have stood with them. And so at first, we're going to recognize co-laborers. We'd like to recognize those who have labored alongside the DeKreigers in either the Baptist Bible Hospital in the south or the Hospital of Hope in the north. And so we're going to ask if you have served in these locations, either long-term or short-term, whether in a medical capacity or in some other support capacity. We're going to ask you to stand and remain standing. As you remain standing, we would also like to recognize these churches who have formally supported and stood behind the DeKreiger family. And if you are here as a representative of one of these churches, I would ask you also to stand as the church is read. Baptist Bible Church, Sparta, Michigan. Berean Baptist Church, Portage, Michigan. Big Prairie Community Church, White Cloud, Michigan. Calvary Baptist Church, Covington, Kentucky. Calvary Baptist Church, Holland, Michigan. Calvary Church, Muskegon, Michigan. Chestnut Street Baptist Church, Camden, Maine. Faith Baptist Church, Wilmington, Ohio. Faith Baptist Church, Sheboygan, Michigan. Family Worship Center, Dover, Foxcroft, Maine. First Baptist Church, Fremont, Michigan. Forest Hills Baptist Church, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Grace Fellowship Church, Oak Forest, Illinois. Heritage Christian Reformed Church, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Hudson Baptist Church, Hudson, Maine. Kent City Baptist Church, Kent City, Michigan. And Spring Creek Church, Pewaukee, Wisconsin. We felt it significant that Jennifer and the boys and their family understand that they're not alone. Other friends here, in addition to these churches and these individuals, but we wanted to recognize and symbolize the partnership that we have enjoyed together. Amen. You may be seated. Wanted to read a biography that has been prepared to try to capture some of the significant elements of Todd's life. Todd Peter DeKreiger was born on September 15, 1969, to Clark and Marilyn DeKreiger in Kalamazoo, Michigan. He was the youngest of three children. His older siblings, sister Cammie Lenning and brother Kurt DeKreiger, along with Todd, attended the Kalamazoo Christian School through their education. Todd was preceded in death by his father, Clark, in 2002. He had a wonderful relationship with his parents. As a family, they camped and were active in all sports and attended his games. Todd's father had a great influence in teaching him to work hard, save his money, invest wisely, and be diligent in his undertakings. He participated in baseball, basketball, football in high school, and as a little leaguer, he always was able to brag that as a pitcher, he gave up a home run to Derek Jeter. No shame in that. Todd's dad taught him respect for God, family, and country, along with a love for the outdoors. Todd mentioned how they would listen to Tigers baseball together and attend Western Michigan ball games together with Mr. Moore. He was proud of his efforts to mow yards, to pay his own way, and I think that carried over into his work of being self-sufficient and motivated to complete the task in an orderly fashion. As far as his adventurous spirit, Todd would try anything and enjoyed snowboarding, cutting the corner on a dog leg in golf to make the green and one less shot, swimming in the Great Lakes, small lakes, pools, and anywhere he could find water. Even when the water temperature was cold enough to raise goosebumps on the hull of the boat, Todd was in the water. Todd loved adventure. whether it was hiking in the Alps, seeking out a wife in Hong Kong, anything to do with the Upper Peninsula, trail bikes, hiking the pictured rocks, camping in the woods, swimming in Lake Superior, or visits to Mackinac Island. He had a great love and respect for education attained from his parents, and that has been transferred to his sons as well. In 1993, Todd was the youngest person to graduate from Western Michigan University's Physician Assistant Program. After graduation, he worked in family practice and emergency medicine in Grand Rapids, Sparta, and Fremont. In the year 2000, Todd completed a surgical residency in New York City. Each of these work experiences prepared Todd well for the work God had prepared for him in Mongo, Togo. In 1994, Todd made the most important decision of his life. He became a follower of Jesus and gave his entire life to love and serve him. In 1997, Todd married Jennifer Ann Benefield, and they began preparing to serve God in Togo, West Africa. In 1999, God blessed Todd and Jennifer with their firstborn son, William Todd. In 2001, Grant Matthew DeKreiger was born. And in 2003, Luke Clark arrived. In 2003, the dream began for the construction of the Hospital of Hope. All of Todd's focus was on seeing this great work come to fruition. In 2005, Todd and his family moved to Albertville, France, to study the French language and to prepare to serve in Togo. In 2007, the family moved to Chico, Togo, where Todd began working in the clinic and the operating room at the Hôpital Baptiste Biblique. Just 3 months after their arrival in Togo, God blessed them with their fourth son, Andrew Etienne. Beginning in 2007, Todd took frequent trips from Chico to Mongo to help with the process of building the Hospital of Hope. His passion was always to see God complete the work of establishing the hospital so he could provide compassionate health care given in the name of Jesus. In 2013, Todd and his family moved to Mongo. He worked every day on the construction site along with the great Togolese masons, day laborers, and many volunteer crews from France and America to construct the hospital. Todd's dreams were realized last year on February 26th when the official ceremony opening the hospital took place. On March 2nd, he was able to see the first patients that came to be cared for at La Hôpital de l'Espérance. Over the course of the last year, Todd had participated in treating over 1,000 patients, operating on hundreds of men, women, and children, and assisting in the birth of hundreds of babies. On February 26, 2016, 1 year later, God called Todd home to heaven. We have a firm assurance that Todd is worshiping his God that he served here in Mongo. His prayer and greatest desire was that his West African friends would know the peace of having a relationship with God through Christ Jesus. I'm now going to ask Alan Niles, the director of the Hospital of Hope, to come and relate some important happenings and a word from the president of Togo.
Give you all a little background. A week ago, I received a phone call from one of the ministers in Togo that said that the president had convened all the ministers in Lomé, the capital, and that the president had decided to honor Todd by decorating him, giving him the highest honors of a non-Togolese citizen. And then he also asked that someone come and represent the Togolese government here at the memorial service. Unfortunately, the Togolese ambassador couldn't come and get a flight, so he sent me his message to read to you. Hommage du... Oh, actually, let me read it in English. That would be better. Tribute of the head of state of Togo to Dr. DeKreiger. Use the word doctor. Obviously, Todd was a PA. The head of state and the people of Togo have painfully learned about the death of Todd Peter DeKreiger, who left the lasting memory of a doctor and surgeon with an exceptional dedication and noble design of his profession. Arrived in Togo in 2007, Mr. De Kreiger saved many lives, sometimes risking his own, as evidenced by the circumstances of his death. Constantly showing empathy to his patients and colleagues, Mr. De Kreiger always put his professional life, endowed with the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. True artist in the service of fixing the human body, Mr. De Kreiger has anointed touch with gestures full of humanity, as a result of a perfect symbiosis between spirituality and dexterity. Mr. De Kreiger has indeed endorsed the philosophy that emphasizes on the fact that we can only give what we have on the sole condition of not having. Togolese are aware of the important role played by his wife, his four children, his family, and friends, and present them through the head of state their deepest condolences. Todd's death, which occurred prematurely at 46, has ended a busy life and yet filled in line with the moral and Christian faith. The course of the doctor shows that we ought to evaluate life not by its length but by its purpose, and that there is nothing more dangerous than a long life filled with empty busyness or selfish actions, as also it is nothing more precious than life usefully set for eternity. May the grace of our Lord be with you, Brother Todd. May the Lord help us fill the important gap Todd left behind.
We have an opportunity to remember and celebrate Todd with many different stories. Wes Stafford, former president of Compassion International, regarding his missionary work, said, "I so desire to have Jesus wipe the tears from my eyes, but he'll have to wipe the sweat from my brow." Wes Stafford was not interested in sitting and waiting for heaven. Neither was Todd. Todd was interrupted by heaven while doing the work that God had designed him for. Ephesians 2:10 encourages us that God created us for a specific ministry. And pastor and theologian Warren Wiersbe explains that the greatest tragedy of a follower of Jesus is to stand at the brink of eternity and discover that we missed God's will and wasted our lives on transient things. This was not the case for Todd, nor was it the case for his family. You see, Todd had a personal relationship with Jesus. He submitted his life to the authority and lordship of Jesus long ago. He spent time studying the word and strove to obey it. He spent time praying, both asking and listening. Todd was not a perfect man, but he served a perfect Savior. He understood who Jesus was and the salvation that he offered, and this compelled him as a missionary. He could have stayed in America and made a good salary and a comfortable life, but the God he served, both here on earth and the God that he stands face to face with and now enjoys fellowship, had asked him to lay down his life, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. Friday morning, February 26th, was not the first time that Todd died. Todd was obedient to the call of Christ and died to himself many years ago. He committed to follow Jesus, no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice. Todd followed Jesus to Mongo Togo. Much like the Apostle Paul, Todd had fought the good fight, finished the race, and kept the faith. Todd also understood what it meant to fight, to run, and keep the faith. He understood it wouldn't be easy. The work in Togo was discouraging at times, hot, exhausting, and could be frustrating. But Todd was encouraged to work for the work that God had placed before him. He found joy in it and trusted Jesus' words, "Come to me, my burden is light." Todd understood it would not be easy, but he also understood that it was worth it. Todd was all in for Jesus. He leaves behind many, many legacies. An important legacy he leaves behind is as a missionary and a Christ follower. When I first met Todd in Chicago years ago, I simply asked why. Why Togo? Why Mongo? Why the hospital? He had visited Mongo before the hospital work had begun, and he observed fresh grave sites. He said there are people dying without having the opportunity to know Jesus, and the hospital will give us a chance to share the hope of Jesus. He and his family, understanding God's will for their lives, resolved to serve the people of Togo with the hope of sharing Jesus' message of salvation. A construction team that helped to build the hospital in 2013 remembers one lunchtime when Todd said, "Let's take a walk." He led them down winding, dusty footpaths in the midday Togo sun, through tall grasses, small homes, grazing cattle, playing children, to a graveyard. With tears in his eyes, he simply said, "This is the reason we're building the hospital. These people may have lived and died without ever having heard about Jesus." He wanted to care for the people, both medically and physically, but his focus was spiritually. That construction team had a bigger vision for why they were building a hospital after spending time with Todd. Another construction team remembers working to install the roof of the hospital. Todd was right there doing the construction as well. One man recalls thinking, "Why doesn't Todd get off this roof and let us do this? He's a doctor. The hospital doesn't need him to get hurt. He should let us do this hard and dangerous work." But that wasn't Todd's personality. He was elbow deep in whatever needed to be done to finish the hospital. He knew the completed hospital was a platform to share hope. Often, Todd would pull a person aside, whether it was on a construction site or at a local church here in the States or even over email. In his jovial, passionate, and loving way, he would challenge them. "So what's God's plan for you? What's keeping you from coming to Togo? What's keeping you from being a missionary?" A visiting doctor shared stories about how Todd would zip to the hospital on his motorcycle, come dancing into the operating room. Before surgery, he would pray over the patient that they would know Jesus as their Savior. There was regularly worship music playing when Todd was operating, and it was rare that he wouldn't sing along. The visitor even remembers Todd thanking them repeatedly for coming to Mongo, because it encouraged him and helped with the ministry that reached the Togolese. Todd's life emanated joy and hope for all to witness. His passion and energy were endless and contagious. He had the joy of the Lord. He was serving in a sweet spot, in the center of God's will. To know Todd was to love him, and to know Todd was to also know that he loved and served Jesus with his whole life. We're not going to replace Todd, but I would be remiss if I didn't, on his behalf, encourage you to seek God's will and join the cause that he and his whole family live for still, whether that be ministering in your hometown or in Mongo, Togo.
Dr. Bob Cropsey was Todd's medical mentor when he arrived in Togo. He is out of the country. I'd like to read a statement on his behalf. "For me," Paul said in the Philippian jail, "to live is Christ, to die is gain." Todd was one of my best friends and one of those amazing people who lived his life in high gear with lots of passion and enthusiasm for his Lord. And he did it in everything, from helping in the design and construction of the Hospital of Hope and the people he recruited to come and serve with him. He took great pride in his surgical team, which he had developed into a highly efficient crew. Every case started with prayer, reassuring the patient before going to sleep. Often all three rooms were in use, doing up to 8 or 9 cases in a day, which usually included a number of emergency surgeries that showed up during the day. On daily ward rounds, the nurse and her nurse's aides made rounds with the surgery team and gave morning report on their patients. While visiting patients, they were engaged in conversation about their thoughts on the Jesus movie they had watched the night before, or from visits with the chaplains. Before leaving, each patient was prayed for. No wonder a patient's family member remarked, "What's all this praying about here in this hospital?" When asked what he thought of it, he replied, "It's a good thing." Todd worked hard all day so he could be home in time to shoot some hoops with his boys and anyone else who was around before dinner. But on Saturday mornings at 6 a.m., all the basketballers around town showed up for a lively farm boy style of basketball, which included all the DeKreiger boys. I am sure every young man in town felt extremely proud to be playing basketball with the head surgeon from the Hospital of Hope. Todd's life was an amazing example of what it meant to live for Christ in any situation. As Paul wrote in Philippians 3, "In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need."
It was Todd's greatest pleasure and honor to open the Hospital of Hope, along with the president of Togo, cutting the ribbon together. A few days later, Todd and the hospital staff would be equally at ease, caring for some of the poorest people on the planet with some very complex problems, all of them in need of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, for the love of Christ controls us, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. Todd's life exemplified this over and over again. The response of the people of Mongo to Todd's untimely death was one of great sadness and gratitude. Throughout the city of Mongo, Muslim families collected a monetary gift for the Dekrigers. They remembered how they had helped them, even during the construction of the hospital, when Todd would see them at the front gate. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." When Todd fell critically ill, many of us around the world began fervently praying for him, as Paul encouraged us in Ephesians 6:18. Wow, and how we prayed for Todd. Why didn't God answer our prayers? He actually did. Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." We are already seeing fruit of what God is accomplishing in calling new harvesters.
I only knew Todd for 2 years. They may have been the two most stressful years of his life. I watched Todd as he worked hard to prepare the Hospital of Hope for its opening, and I marveled at his vision, his tenacity, and the smile on his face every morning at 7 a.m. as he pulled up on his moto to the shop, ready for another day of hard work in the heat. I clung to the heartfelt encouragement he gave me every once in a while, words that showed he was thinking about me in that stressful time, just as he was thinking about everyone else on the team. He was one of the biggest cheerleaders I ever had, and I think many of us here could say that. As a young single man, one thing that deeply impressed me was watching the way Todd led his family. Nothing could entice him to give up time with his boys. It wasn't like a duty, more like a passion, what he loved to do most. And when I watched them relate, it was very obvious that they were best friends. In everything he did, whether pouring concrete or performing an operation or sharing Christ with someone, he was getting his boys involved. And I guess that's why he didn't have to wait for family devotions to roll around to admonish or encourage them. Because he did it in the context of everyday life, with a blend of sternness, compassion, camaraderie, and fun. He led his boys to become the men of character that they are today. If anything could get him angry, it was the mention of abortion. And I think it's because he understood the infinite value of every soul. So he took the responsibility of leading his family very seriously. He didn't take everything seriously, though. And in spite of the stress, he never forgot how to have fun. One day I was ready to go home and my bicycle was nowhere to be seen. After some fruitless searching on the ground around the shop, I finally looked up and there it was, hanging in the tree above me by a chain. I never got anyone to own up, but a lot of evidence pointed to Todd. So I looked up to Todd in so many ways, and it wasn't long before he was on my list of heroes. But I was never tempted to put him on a pedestal, because his life wasn't a story of perfection, but of redemption. He had very obviously surrendered his strong personality to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. I saw him get overwhelmed and frustrated and angry and worn down. But it was in these times that I saw clearly how God's strength is perfected in weakness. I love how John Bunyan likens a Christian to a fire that burns hotter and brighter, because although Satan is dousing it with water, God is feeding it with oil. And that was Todd. God's grace filled him in every trial, making him a showcase of that grace for everyone around. That's what he was, simply a showcase for God's grace. The stories that emerged from the OR were legendary, but the story that Todd loved to tell best was the gospel. He knew at his very core that apart from Jesus, he would be spiritually dead in sins, under the wrath of God, joining the rest of mankind in following Satan. So Jesus was extremely precious to him. He knew, like the woman who poured her life earnings on Jesus' head in a bottle of ointment, that he had been forgiven much. And so he loved much, and he poured out his life as a love offering to Jesus. Probably as Thomas did when he put his fingers into Jesus' wounds, that Jesus was alive, and that he had been made alive in him. And so he lived his life in a posture of worship to Jesus. Todd was a showcase of God's grace on earth. And now that he's in heaven, I'm really looking forward to the coming ages when God will show off his grace in the most spectacular display ever, when people redeemed from every nation will gather around the throne, amazed by the kindness of Jesus. And I can't wait to see how many people will be there in awe at God's grace, because it first flowed to them through Todd.
Well, as a friend and colleague of Todd's, I've been reflecting on the impact and influence Todd had on me, as well as so many others. None of us will ever be the same. I believe his impact has to do with four different elements I've observed in his character. Todd was never satisfied. He wasn't the godliest man I know. If you don't believe me, I can share stories to prove it. He was always striving to change and be more like Jesus, as Kyle was saying. I've never seen God work so powerfully through an individual. He used Todd's skills and talents, despite his weaknesses, to accomplish incredible things. Todd was never, ever, ever satisfied with where he was at in his marriage, as a dad, as a friend, and as a surgeon. He was never satisfied with his size and his physical strength, or with his basketball abilities. He was always striving to be better, to eat better, and to work better. You couldn't be around him long before you were examining yourself and wanting to be a better person. The other thing I noticed was Todd was so passionate, so intense, so driven. Todd was so passionate about the Hospital of Hope that he got hundreds of people mobilized to give towards it and to work at the hospital. He could turn any conversation into a recruitment speech and could get complete strangers excited about the ministry of the hospital. He was intense in everything he did, from riding his motorcycle to fouling players on the basketball court. Those of us who played with him still have bruises from his intensity. If he were to stop and buy pineapples on the way up to Mongo, he never got one or two. He usually bought 20 or 30. In fact, one time I stopped with his van at the pineapple stand, and the ladies came running, and when I stepped out, I could see disappointment in their faces. I wasn't Todd, I just wanted one. He was passionate about God, about great surgery, about good food, about sports. He was passionate about helping the poorest patients, about building a strong reputation in the town of Mongo, and about emphasizing the chaplaincy ministry in the hospital. He was intense in learning to speak French well, even if it meant making a fool of himself, which he did, by the way. He was just full of intense passion. If you wrote a book about Todd, it would have to be in all capital letters. Todd was also a cheerleader, like Kyle mentioned. If Todd was convinced that you were on the right track in missions or making wise decisions or in a solid relationship with the right girl or guy, he became your biggest cheerleader. From day one, Todd and Jennifer looked to my wife and I as key players in getting the Hospital of Hope started. As I moved forward in hiring the staff and working, Todd was the biggest cheerleader, overlooking my age, my inexperience, and my lack of understanding of medical ministry. Todd pushed and pushed to make me the director of the hospital. Thanks a lot, Todd. Afterwards, though, he didn't sit back and say, well, I put you there and I made you director. The complete opposite. He stood behind me and even would follow me when I made decisions. What respect. What a cheerleader. Todd was also a great dad. As a friend, he taught me how to make my kids a priority. Every Saturday, as Dr. Cropsey noted, Todd would bring the boys to play basketball. He was committed even if he was on call that day. Basketball with the boys was his priority. Despite his busyness, he made an effort to hang out with them and even got them involved in the hospital and the hospital work so that he could influence them on the job. He never went anywhere without bringing one of the boys on the back of his moto or in the van on the long ride to Lomé. Todd loved the Togolese people and poured his life out for them. But what I witnessed was that his boys were his priority. And in order to balance his attention, he cultivated a love for the Togolese in his boys so that there was never a divide of his time. Todd loved investing in his boys while at the same time investing in Togolese men. You know, a true test of what kind of a tree it is the fruit it produces. William, Grant, Luke, and Drew are courageous, passionate young men who each have unique characteristics from their dad. And I challenge you boys not to be bitter or upset that your dad is gone, but to embrace his legacy. Legacy is a big word, Drew, but it refers to all the money and stuff someone has. But with your dad, his legacy has to do with the investment he made in other people's lives. So I want to challenge you guys not to just live in his shadow, but to step out and let God use you in your own unique ways. You boys need to go above and beyond in respecting and honoring your mom, and you need to look to each other. As I close, Jennifer, I want you to be assured of the support from your colleagues and family in Togo. We want to help you raise these men to walk with Jesus, following the example of their dad. We're not so much interested in telling people how he died, but more importantly, how he lived. You see, Todd did not lose his life on the mission field. He gave it. Todd didn't lose his life. He spent it. So today, I'm so grateful that I was counted as one of his best friends. And I get to experience his relentless pursuit of Jesus and his constant cheering.
Today, we are gathered together to honor a life that was poured out for the sake of the gospel. In a turn of events that shocked us all, God decided to bring my dad, his faithful servant, home with him to heaven. The ministry my dad completed at the Hospital of Hope, in the lives of his co-workers and patients, and in the lives of us, his sons, has only just begun. He lived his life as best he could in the service of Christ his Savior in Togo. One of the verses that first came to our minds as we heard of my dad's passing was John 4:36, which reads, Already, the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. It is encouraging to know that Christ will draw to completion each of these works in his timing, through us his servants, and through his Spirit. Often it is difficult to discern the ways of God, leaving us with unanswered questions. However, we cling to his word, knowing that all of God's works are just, and he will never abandon those who put their trust in him. God uses trials in our lives to draw us closer to himself. That is why in James 1:12 we are told, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." In the fall of 1994, my dad gave his life to Christ. In the years that followed, he and my mom were called to serve Christ in Togo. In February of 2013, our family moved to Mongo for the first time to join the team at the Hospital of Hope, which was under construction. On March 2, 2015, we opened the hospital, beginning a compassionate medical ministry in the name of Jesus. These mark a few starting blocks or important dates in the life of my dad. On February 26, 2016, he passed the finish line and received his crown. However, the race is far from over. It is now time for us to pray fervently that we reach the goal, but it is also time for us to snatch up the baton ourselves until we too are called into glory and receive our own reward. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27 says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly, I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Therefore, as I challenge myself with these words, I encourage all each of you in the same way that my dad did to demonstrate the love of Christ to the lost world. I do not believe that it was an accident that today, the day before Easter, we are here to celebrate my dad's life, being mindful of Christ's powerful words in John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." In celebrating Easter, we are not just celebrating the truth that Jesus is alive and that he conquered death, but also that for us, who are his own children, we too are alive in Christ. Because of the fruit in my dad's life, we know that he is alive in Christ. He received the prize. Right now, he is taking part in what he called the eternal worship event. Easter also is about our resurrection through Christ. Because of him, we too are alive. We are confident that our story does not end in death. It ends in resurrection.
I just wanted to take a moment this morning to thank you. We are so grateful for you. We're so grateful for how you stood with us. We thank especially our supporting churches and individuals, those who support us in the ministry of the Hospital of Hope. God has used you mightily for the advancement of his kingdom. We thank our family and our friends who have stood with us, who have prayed for us over this last month. We have felt the peace of God like never before, knowing that it's only him that could sustain us. I ask you to keep praying for us, please. I beg you to pray for us. Through our tears and through our pain, we are looking to the God of all comfort, the God of all hope. He's promised to walk this path with us, and we cling to his promises. We cling only to the gospel. It's all we have. We cling to the gospel and the certain assurance we have of eternal life with Christ. It's so much more real to us now. I've been reminded in recent days of Peter's words to Jesus when he said, "Where else will we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." emphasizing to me that only in Jesus can I find any consolation. Only in my God can I continue this path without Todd by my side. And only in Christ can I find any semblance of peace. Yes, our hearts are broken, and we miss Todd so very much. Yet we're fixing our attention on what an amazing gift God gave us in him. 46 years is a short life, but he filled them. He was a great man of God. He was a fantastic father for our children, opening God's word with our boys every day. Living out before them and before me what it meant to have an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. Todd desired to love the things most that God loved. He loved the lost. His heart was for the Muslim people in Mongo to come to know Jesus. Todd loved the Word of God. He spent hours studying the Word of God so that he could know his Heavenly Father better. And he loved doing anything possible for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Todd poured out everything he had for that goal. So even in our profound pain, we have confidence that our sacrifice was worth it. We don't say that lightly. So in the midst of our grief, we fix our eyes on the truth of who Jesus is and what he did for us. We're firmly trusting in the fact that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the God that can exchange my ashes for beauty and my mourning for joy. We greatly covet your prayers. Prayers for our family, prayers for each of our boys, and prayers for the Hospital of Hope team. Thank you so very, very much for storming the throne of grace on our behalf. We trust in our God, and we know that he is a God who answers prayers. We are confident that we die and we live through our risen Lord. We belong completely, body and soul, in life and in death, to Jesus. To him alone belongs the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you.
Battles I would face. expressed with all my heart. Offered to a friend who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much his love would cost, he still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost were it not for grace.
All those who've been able to share different aspects of Todd's life. I was going through my things and came across an unsolicited letter that I had received in the spring of 2009 from Gordon Kaufman, a medical doctor who had spent time in Togo, and he writes, "In all sincerity and honesty, I have rarely, if ever, encountered another missionary with Todd's training who has the commitment, drive, determination, ability, foresight, and eagerness to learn that Todd exhibits. He is prompt, efficient, and willing to take on the more difficult clinical problems, yet he knows when it is appropriate to seek the advice of a physician. I view him as a competent family practitioner, pediatrician, surgeon, obstetrician, gynecologist, and innovator. Through the various portions of his training, he has developed skills that are unique. His love for God is reflected in his love for the Togolese people, with whom he has developed great rapport. I can assure you that he is a real asset both to the medical and evangelical work that occurs daily at the Hospital Baptiste Biblique." And those thoughts could be echoed again and again and again. Well, I want to take a moment today to share from God's Word. We're going to look at just three verses in Acts chapter 20. Thinking about, again, Todd's decision, along with Jennifer, to serve God in a small and seemingly insignificant country of Togo, West Africa. Some might consider it an ill-advised decision. Todd was a bright physician's assistant with a promising medical career before him. And there were a number of dangers. He had a wife and small children, a young family, the threat of disease, not thinking of Lassa fever perhaps, but Ebola, and all sorts of other things that are prevalent in that part of the world, the threat of violence, even in recent months, here this month, between the Al-Qaeda attacks in nearby Ivory Coast and the ISIS attacks at the airport in Brussels where the De Kreigers had been on Sunday. And the obstacles of religious resistance in a Muslim region. Todd could not have predicted the events of the last 2 months, but his eyes were open to the dangers and obstacles that he faced, and he proceeded anyway. Chip Bernhard, pastor at Spring Creek Church there in Wisconsin, related a conversation that he had had with Todd about Ebola, and Chip kept pushing back, and Todd kept insisting that he would stay. This was Todd. This was his heart for these people. He walked eyes wide open into a very dangerous field. 150 years ago, David Livingstone walked into the African continent, enduring all measure of personal hardship. What causes a person to do that? To embrace such a dangerous mission? What fuels this type of courage and conviction? And I believe the Apostle Paul speaks to 20 as he too embraced a dangerous mission, repeatedly warned about going to Jerusalem, and yet he went anyway. Acts chapter 20, verse 22, "And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul would go on to say that he said farewell to these people, knowing and expressing that he would never see them again. Paul knew more of the danger that he faced than he let on. And yet he went anyways. And here Paul gives us a bit of his worldview, a bit of what was driving him and what motivated him to take that step into a dangerous mission. And I want to just cite a couple of the things that he articulates here. What again is it that causes a person to face such a dangerous mission? It is a sense of being constrained by the Spirit of God. Paul says it there. "And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit." Some translations say compelled by the Spirit. The King James brings across the literal rendering, bound. This is the idea. Completely gripped by the Spirit of God. The grammar could either communicate that he was bound by the Spirit, or that he was bound with the Spirit or in the Spirit. Either communicating that the Spirit was the one that was moving Paul along to Jerusalem, or that the Spirit was accompanying him as he went to Jerusalem. But in any event, it is clear that Paul did not see his life as his own. He was given over to God and to God's Spirit. Over and over again, we're told of the Spirit's role in the work of the Great Commission and advancing the work of the gospel. Acts chapter 2. There this fledgling church is, and Jesus instructs them, "Don't go anywhere until my Spirit is poured out on you." And we see that unfolding in Pentecost. It was the Spirit that directed Philip to a desert road, a lonely road, where he would encounter an Ethiopian. And he would explain the gospel to this man. And the gospel would go back to Africa, to the African continent. This is the Spirit's work. It was the Spirit who set aside Barnabas and Paul for missionary service. The Spirit that directed Paul into Macedonia, into the heart of the Roman Empire, pushing the gospel to the farthest reaches of the earth. And now here in this text, it's the Spirit that moves Paul to Jerusalem and into danger. David Livingstone was first gripped by the Spirit, first moved for Africa when he was 21 years old as a college student. Dr. Robert Moffat, a celebrated missionary from South Africa, had returned to Britain and was meeting with a group of students, and he conveyed the need in Africa. He said, "I had sometimes seen in the morning sun the smoke of 1,000 villages where no missionary had ever been." And that imagery, the Spirit of God captured Livingston's heart. The Spirit of God had captured Todd's heart. In an unrelenting passion for Togo. And what Todd did was not natural. It was not normal. Todd did what he did because he was animated by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is still moving people into positions around the world where the gospel will be advanced. And in light of Todd's passing, we are praying that God would capture the hearts of many more
who would rise up and take their place in the next wave of gospel mission. Perhaps the next Hospital of Hope surgeon or nurse or IT person or chaplain or maintenance worker or administrator or church planter is here today or is watching from distance via video. Will you surrender to the Spirit's call to embrace a dangerous but strategic mission? Paul gives another reason why someone would go into a dangerous place and embrace a risky mission, and that is that they are surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Paul says here, I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus. He was commanded by Jesus. He had received instruction. He uses very specific terminology, a designation for Jesus, Lord Jesus, Master Jesus. And that trumped his own personal plans, desires, and safety. He did not consider his life as precious or valuable. This is not Paul being depressed here, saying, oh, my life is worth nothing. Not some sort of self-loathing. But Paul reached a very reasoned decision. He says, I do not consider my life to be of any value in itself, on its own. A person who lives for themselves wastes their life. What counts is the glory of God. Success is not living a long life. Success is not earning a six-figure income. Success is not an early retirement. Nothing wrong with any of these things, but success is doing what God created you to do and commanded you to do. God gave Paul a ministry, an assignment, and Paul was committed to doing it. That's where he found significance in life. John Piper writes in his book, Don't Waste Your Life, citing out of a 1998 version of Reader's Digest, which tells about a couple who took early retirement from their jobs in the Northeast 5 years ago when he was 59 and she was 51. Now they live in Punta Gorda, Florida, where they cruise on their 30-foot trawler, play softball, and collect shells. Piper writes, when I first read this, I thought it might be a joke, a spoof on the American dream, but it wasn't. Tragically, this was the dream. Come to the end of your life, your one and only precious God-given life, and let the last great work of your life, before you give an account to your Creator, be this: playing softball and collecting shells. Picture them before Christ at the great day of judgment. Look, Lord, see my shells? That is a tragedy. And people are spending billions of dollars to persuade you to embrace that tragic dream. Over against that, I put my protest. Don't buy it. Don't waste your life. And Paul says very clearly here that my life in and of itself, lived for myself, is of no value. My life takes value as I embrace the task that God has established for me. And Todd took seriously the command of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. He'd been given an assignment and he took it seriously. I can't help but smile as Paul likens gospel ministry to a course, to a contest laid out before him, finishing the course. For Todd, everything was a contest. I remember Todd taking us to a waterfall in proximity to the Southern Hospital, but it wasn't a leisurely walk. He wanted to get up early in the morning and run over the streams and through the little villages and up the mountain to the waterfall. On his furlough visits, they would put together these triathlons. Still remember Todd way out in front of me on that first swim leg. Before his death, he had set up a weight loss challenge with some of his other missionary colleagues. If you laid a challenge before him, it was on. And God had placed a challenge before Todd, and he embraced it. By the way, you and I have
received a challenge from God as well. It wasn't for Todd alone. It was for you and I and all those who would call upon the name of Christ and claim to be his followers. We have been called to make disciples. Paul and Todd went into dangerous places, embraced a dangerous calling because they were compelled by the Spirit, because they were surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Finally, people embrace dangerous missions. They go into dangerous places, inspired by the grace of God. Paul would go on to say here, at the close of these verses, that he was testifying to the gospel of the grace of God. He was not just telling people about God's grace. Paul was testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He wasn't bringing an informational report. He was conveying personal testimony, first-hand experience. He was giving an eyewitness account. It's what it means to testify. He was sharing his own story of how God's grace had transformed his life. People often struggle to understand why David Livingstone spent so much of his time in Africa. On one of his return trips to Britain, he addressed the crowd at the Senate House on the campus of Cambridge University, and he addressed the question head on. He said, "Can that be called a sacrifice which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward in healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, and a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word in such a view and with such a thought." Todd, too, had an encounter with the grace of God, and he was never the same. He had come to recognize his own sin. He had come to recognize that Jesus had died on the cross in his place. He had responded in faith. His service in Togo was more than stoic duty. Todd would often, as Will referenced, speak of the eternal worship event, when all those who had been redeemed by the blood of Christ would gather before the throne of God. Todd was a gifted evangelist. I believe he was so effective in evangelism, not because of some technique, but because he never forgot his own story. Why do people risk for the gospel? Because they have never gotten over how desperate their own situation was. And they run into the highways and the byways and the dangerous places to take the message of God's rescue to the world. Our contemporary culture in the West has developed an aversion to suffering. We do everything we can to avoid difficulty, struggle, and danger. Heaven forbid the heat isn't on at church when you show up. Come to think that following Jesus makes my life easier. And when we encounter difficulty, we wonder what we did wrong. But this passage dispels such foolishness. When you follow Jesus, your life gets harder. Oh, it is filled with blessing and hope and significance and abiding joy. But it is also filled with hardship and rejection and struggle. I ask you this morning, where are those who are willing to enter into a dangerous and difficult mission? Those who are willing to go to the challenging places around the globe. David Livingstone is known probably more for his work as an explorer than as a missionary, but in any event, he encountered more setbacks than victories in the course of his life. Expended his life on the African continent without a lot to show for it. But it was after Livingstone's death that his true impact was gauged. The East African slave trade was eradicated just days after his death. And a successful Christian mission was established in the African interior where he worked. T.
10 years after Livingston's death, a 25-year-old man by the name of Chauncey Maples arrived in the African interior. Maples had been appointed the new representative of the flourishing Christian mission in the African interior. And as he traveled inland, he came to a village known as Mataka's Village. It was in this village in 1866 that Livingston had stayed on his last journey. One village elder insisted that Chauncey Maples come into his home. And this elderly African told of the white man who had visited Mataka's village 10 years before. He described him as a white man who treated black men as his brothers and whose memory would be cherished all along the Rovuma Valley after we were all dead and gone. A short man with a bushy mustache and a keen piercing eye whose words were always gentle and whose manners were always kind, whom as a leader it was a privilege to follow and who knew the way to the hearts of men. He then turned and produced Livingston's coat, which he had given to this villager 10 years previous. A simple act of kindness to an African man had left a deep and enduring impression in that part of the world. I believe that years from now, the elders in Mongo Togo will be talking about a tall Dutchman with a gregarious laugh and a compassionate heart who loved them enough to give up a life of ease, to leave the comforts of home, and establish a hospital where they could receive compassionate health care and hear about the love of Jesus, the Savior of the world.
He looks forward to what John spoke of, the book of Revelation, a time coming, a day that's coming, when there will be no more sorrow, no more death, no more crying, no more pain. Former things, John says, are passed away. And Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. That day is coming. That day is coming. And we have that hope, and that hope will not disappoint. Amen? Amen.
seated. This time we're going to close in prayer and commit Todd's family to the Lord. Will you join me? Father, we are gathered here today on this day to mark the death of Todd Peter DeKreiger. You used Todd to establish the Hospital of Hope in Mongo, Togo. And in your providence, you called him to yourself. I pray today for his wife, Jennifer. I pray that you would sustain her and give her grace, both now and in the days to come. I pray for his boys, William, Grant, Luke, and Drew. I pray that you would guard their hearts. I pray that you would instill in them the faith of their father. I pray that you would bring comfort to Todd's mother, Marilyn, and both the DeKreiger and Benefield families. I pray for Todd's extended hospital family as they continue even now to labor in the midst of their grief. I pray that you would prosper the work of the Hospital of Hope there in Mongo so that many would come to know Jesus as their Savior. I pray that Todd's death would be a demonstration of Jesus' love for the people of Mongo. God Almighty, we also believe that you have brought us together in this place at this time to contemplate our own mortality. I pray that your word would accomplish its work. I pray that if there are some who are still clinging to pride and self-sufficiency, that today they would acknowledge their sin and place their faith in the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, Father, we formally commend Todd to your hands, thankful for your grace and mercy that have been evidenced in his life, thankful that Todd placed his faith and trust in Jesus, thankful that his sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. We grieve, but we do not despair, having gathered today with the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the dead. Believe that those who have come to Jesus through faith, eternal life, Jesus has defeated death. Jesus holds the keys of death. And so we pray these things in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.